Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed. I'm your host, Thomas, and with my awesome off-the-chain co-host,
Mia Wilson.
And today, we're going to talk about a subject that is still heavy on all of our minds. And feel free to call in if you have anything you want to reflect on, because we're going to talk about the 9/11 attacks 10 years ago yesterday. So stay tuned to this episode of Christians Unleashed on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to Christians Unleashed on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, the Invisible Conservative, and with the better host, Miss Mia Wilson. And like I said earlier, we're going to talk about the events of 9/11. And you know, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about that day. I remember exactly where I was, what I was doing. I was on 12th and Benton, right down the street from Gates Barbecue in Kansas City, Missouri. And I was staying with my mom and her now husband.
Thomas.
Yes, ma'am.
I keep hearing a repeat for some reason.
Nothing's repeating on this side. Because it's clear. We're good. Because, man, Blog Talk Radio, they need to work their kinks out. Because this isn't us. It's not Skype. It's their system. Granted, 4 years old. A lot of technology. But anyway, bear with us, folks. 9/11, it impacted me because back then when it took place, I was carrying a lot of anger and unforgiveness and bitterness. Just situations and circumstances that, you know, that I was mad at the world and just many other things. And when it occurred, when the event occurred, I reacted very negatively. I yelled out a cuss word. And I punched the carpet, and then I cried. That's the only thing that I could do. And then, you know, I just sat there stunned. I was just stunned. But what the 9/11 attacks helped me realize was just how much I loved and valued this country and the fact that we have the freedom to worship a Lord and Savior. And we're not under the restrictions of a repressive religion that would kill people because they don't like the way a certain group of people lived. Because they don't like our Western way of life. Mia, where were you at when 9/11 took place? You remember where you was and what you was doing at the time?
I don't remember where I was exactly. I just remember the day specifically and remember how I felt about it. And it wasn't a very good feeling at all.
Right.
So,
Mia, can you mute the sound on your computer? Okay. That'll take care of that feedback. So are you there still? Mia? Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. But go ahead. You were saying that you didn't have a good feeling. So
I'm here.
Okay. So continue where you left off, please. With where you was on the 9/11.
I'm trying to, but I keep hearing the same. I keep hearing like two shows, and I don't know what's going on. I really don't. The technical problems are just.
You know what you need to do is scroll up under where the computer under the chat room. Scroll up and where you see the volume button, mute. Hit that, because what you're hearing the show live, but on the air, it's also playing back. You're hearing a delayed feed, but you being live with me is much quicker than the delayed feed. That's what you're hearing. So mute that and you should be okay.
It is on mute. It says turn off sound, right?
No, not on Skype, but on the computer where the actual show page. Sorry, folks, bear with us. We're having a few technical difficulties here. Do you get it? It should be right above, you know, when you logged in and you went to the show, just scroll up and right where the volume is, you just hit the little speaker thing and just mute that. And that way you'll still, because you're a live caller. You're a live caller, so. Did you get it? (sighs) 918, we'll be right with you in just one moment. We're working out this Blog Talk Radio technical difficulties. A lot of people have been having it's just been crazy. So bear with us. We thank you for your patience. Go ahead and take this call. 918, you're on the air. How are you?
Don't fuck yourself, nigger. You know what we do to niggers?
Now, I tell you what, bruh. I'm not even going to dignify you with a reply, because the only person that you see that has that name is when you look in a mirror. That's what I thought. Anyway.
Wow. Some people are just really ignorant. He needs to call back.
Yep. 918, if you're still floating around, Mr. Guest, I dare you to call back in. I dare you. Hey.
Some people just have nothing better to do with their time, seriously.
Hey, Jermaine, we're talking about 9/11 attacks, so you can go ahead and call in then. And I know you're going to address that, but you know what? See, it's people like that, liberals. That was a liberal that used that word. That was not a conservative, by the way. Folks, that was a liberal. So, anyway, because he has no clue what the old me would have done to a person like that. But I thank you. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for his saving grace and his mercy. Because I'm telling you guys, I was an angry, hate-filled individual. Oh, man. Let's see if Jermaine called in yet. Hey, Jermaine, go ahead and call in when you are ready. We'll take your call. Go ahead and call in. But, you know,
So moving right along, it's just another distraction, and we are too blessed to be dealing with foolishness like that. And the way if you're brave enough to call somebody that over the phone, be ready to be brave enough to call them that in their face. Because in my part, you know, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
You don't tolerate such ignorance, you know. And I hope he's still listening. Whoever you are, you know, be bold next time. You know, keep running your mouth. That's just nothing even to be, you know, that's short bus stuff right there. I'm sorry. People got issues.
Let's see some. This might be him calling back in. No, yeah. He's calling back in.
Okay. Yeah, let pick him up. Pick up. Pick up.
Hello.
I'm fucking goddamn rape the old lady and stick a goddamn white baby up in her fucking nigger pussy, and then I'll feed her like a goddamn redheaded stepchild and then have her sit off the case.
Are you talking? Who are you talking about? Are you talking about your family?
Motherfuckers and be happy to do it.
Oh, really, now? Where are you at?
Your address, nigger.
Where are you at? I'm in Texas. We got guns.
Why don't address,
come
doctor.
On, where are you at? Where are you at? What is your name?
I know who the fuck you are now.
What is your name?
I don't have to get to myself.
Exactly, you stuttering.
Exactly.
Go buy some books. Go buy some books.
Mia, time out for a minute. First of all, it's kind of interesting another black man referring to another black man as a nigger. That's really interesting. Folks, by the way, that was another black guy calling us the N-word. Just thought I'd let you know that. Because here's the thing. Why would you turn around and say you're going to stick a white baby up somebody's rear end if you're white? See, that's what I'm talking about. That was a liberal. That was a liberal. That was a black liberal. That was a stupid black liberal. I'm not racist, so I'm not going to go there. But I'm going to be responsible. People like that is what I was delivered from, the anger and the hatred. Because there, I could tell y'all stories of things that I would have done to those type of individuals that would make your head turn. But moving on, back to our original discussion.
Where, people like that don't have anything intelligent to say. And that's
not at all.
That's what he said was intelligent. And that's why I encouraged him, go buy you some books. Go read and get you a highlighter and get you some stuff that you can start, you know, getting some education and learning instead of throwing around, you know, racial slurs, because he's obviously living in some kind of time warped dimension. It's just comical, really.
Right.
It's comical. People like that, they educate me every day to why I do what I do and who I am.
Right. But wait. I thought liberals were for black people.
Liberals ain't for nobody but themselves. They are the most selfish entities and pieces of garbage on this earth. I'm sorry.
Right.
And I'm just going to say that. And I granted there are some good liberals out there.
Yes,
but
there
unfortunately,
are.
You know, you have the majority of them who make the other apples look bad.
Right. Let's get Jermaine on the line because he wanted to say something. Hey, Jermaine, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
What's going on, Thomas? you know you have a good show when the trolls start bothering you.
Exactly. So
congratulations on your show, brother.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
And yeah, just ignore those guys. I wouldn't give them the airtime. They're just starving for attention. So I just ignore them on my show. Don't let them be a disruption to something good you got going on here. So
my heart breaks for them, though. My heart breaks for them because, and what's really bad, that was another black man. That was a black voice. But it's funny because he didn't think we were smart enough to catch it. But Mia caught the stuttering, and I caught the certain phrases he used. You know,
the thing is, trolls are around to educate us.
Right.
They are. They actually make us think and be smarter than what we are. I'm thankful for trolls.
Exactly.
I am. I ain't gonna lie. He challenges me to actually think and realize I'm so glad I'm not in that state of mind. And I want people like him to be exposed.
Right.
But the thing about it is he would never go to a restaurant or a public venue and use that type of language.
Exactly.
He's a coward, so he's a radio Nazi.
Right.
You know, he can in the comfort of his own home get on the radio, call in and call someone that, but not ever have the courage to say it to somebody's face. So, you know, to me, they don't deserve any attention.
Right. Got a call out of the Washington, D.C. area. 202, you're live.
I think you might take it up.
What?
Hey, tell the trolls to at least pop into your chat room so you can get a couple hits and your show gets ranked a little bit higher. Tell them to be useful.
I left him talking to himself in the screening room. Yeah. That was someone from Washington. Wow, we must have did something. We must have hit on something.
You know what it was when you went to that tea party event. That's what it was. Next time you need to stay home.
Yeah, well.
Hold up. They got black people in the tea party?
Yeah, me.
I know, right?
Man, I need to stop listening to MSNBC.
Darn, don't you hate it when that happens?
Well, yeah.
Wow. So, well, thanks for the word, Jermaine. I agree with that. And that's just crazy how people have to use their time to get on air to spread such foolishness.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So, Thomas, what were you saying about 9/11?
I was asking you, do you remember where you was on 9/11 and what you was doing and how it impacted you?
I remember I was off of work, and I was, if you remember, Aaliyah, the singer, had just died in a plane crash about 2 weeks before that.
Yes.
And they were, it may have been a month. I know it wasn't long, but they were doing a, I was laying in bed and I was listening to the radio, and they were doing a tribute to Aaliyah, and they actually had breaking news, and they said that a plane had accidentally crashed into the World Trade Center. And so, of course, being the, addicted to news like I am, I jumped up and I went into the living room and turned on the TV, and just as I was turning on the television, the second plane hit.
Whoa.
And so, it was at that point, you know, it went from, you know, the reality of being an accident to me just being really angry without even knowing really who to be angry at. So.
Right. Right.
But hold on 1 second, Thomas.
All right.
Okay.
I hope we never get a situation like that again.
It was, and pretty much all I've done was just sit there in amazement all day. Well, not maybe amazement's the wrong word, but shocked.
Right, shocked.
All day and watched the news feed of what was going on.
Yeah, because that was all they showed for what? The entire week.
Yeah, it was definitely three days of it. So.
Yeah, it was, and it was nonstop coverage.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There were no commercials. It was nonstop coverage.
Right. Anytime ESPN preempts sports and puts on news, then something major has happened in the country.
Right.
So.
Right. But you know what? And I'm going to go off on a little direction for a minute. Hey, guys, everyone in the chat room, over the next few weeks, we're going to, myself, Mia, and Stacy, we're going to have some phenomenal guests, some really, really good guests. And on certain days, because of the trolls, we're going to preempt the trolls. And what we're going to do, I want you guys to, if you listen in the archive, like when you listen to the show, You can either call, you can actually call in and just listen live on the air and only push one if you want to say something, or just listen, you know, to the radio show. But I'm not going to do a chat room, because the kind of people that we have coming on over the next several weeks, I'm not going to allow them to disrespect our guests. So I still want you guys to come to the show, but there won't be a chat room on certain days. And one of those days is this Wednesday. We are interviewing Pastor C.L. Bryant of the Runaway Slave movie. And he's going to be on the show at 4 p.m. Central Time. So whatever time zone you're in, just, you know, compensate for that. You know, Eastern is 5, Atlantic is 6:30, or 6:30 Atlantic, and then Central, and what's the two on the left?
Mountain and Western.
Okay, Mountain and Western. But anyway, so that's all I wanted to say, because this show is a blessing. I love my listeners. I love the people that I've been blessed with. I've been blessed with an awesome, straightforward, real-talking co-host who keeps it real, and she keeps me on my toes, because anyway.
Yes, she does. I've heard your show since Mayo came on, and yeah, she's good. So.
Yes, she is. But anyway, so back to the conversation. Mia, what you have to add?
Let's see. We're talking about 9/11. Let's talk about this this speech Obama gave.
Hold on a second. You mean the one where no one cheered? That one?
That's the one.
Wow. Go ahead. I want to hear about this because I didn't watch it.
Well, apparently, I couldn't watch the man. I saw clips in pieces of it. And the man, he had no life. He is just lifeless. He's dead. And he had his little papers with, you know, God is our refuge and our strength. You know, and you could tell it was just, there was no sincerity in it whatsoever. There was no sincerity in anything he says. Only time I see Obama motivated know, and that was nice to see that, you know, him and Bush were on the stage and they were addressing the crowd. But I remember this picture so clearly as if it was yesterday when Obama went to visit the Ground Zero. And there's a photo of him and he has this rose in his hand. And the photographer catches Obama. He doesn't lay the rose down. He throws it across into where at the 9/11 where it all went down. I'm like, to me, that's how do you pay your respects that way?
Right.
And then they have the photo, totally different how Obama was presenting his rose and how McCain, I'm not a fan of McCain, and how McCain was presenting his rose. McCain went up to the grant to the where they were laying the roses down. He lays his down gently. Obama tosses his, and I'm like, the level of respect and the arrogance that Obama shows is just unbelievable.
Well, I think it's safe to say, and if you've drawn any conclusions to Obama's presidency, he either has really, really bad handlers, or he's really, really stupid.
Stupid.
I'm gonna go with both. I'm gonna go with both.
I think it's all the above on this one.
Yeah.
I mean, a president to a certain degree should be coach don't need certain protocols. He should know not to throw the rose. I mean, this guy, he's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
And you know, Jermaine and Thomas, I'm going to be real. You know, as a person with a retired father in the Air Force, my husband's retired, my brother's currently serving, and my sister's currently serving, my brother-in-law's currently serving. As a person who has basically come from a military lifestyle and background, I know how important it is to have to really make sacrifices for our troops and for their families, because they give so much. They give so much. And then you have these politicians who give so little. You know, and they're, to me, the balance is so, I mean, it's crystal clear. 22 years my husband served, okay?
Right.
And then you look at the retirement that he gets compared to a person who has served in the Senate or as a presidency, how, what pension and what pay, what benefits they get. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
What are they sacrificing? Exactly.
Right. Well, and that's the problem with government now. There's a disconnect between government and the people. The government actually thinks that, you know, that they are above the people, when in all honesty, it's the other way around. You know, they work for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. And they don't understand the economic conditions and the everyday realities of normal people, because these are elitists. Let's be honest. I mean, most of them are elitists. They come from wealthy backgrounds. Most of them have probably had a family member that was involved in government before or head of large corporations. So they don't understand the plight of normal citizens. So, I mean, I think that's a lot of the problem these days. We don't have normal people serving.
Right.
Right. No, we don't. You know, guys, I got this video that I was just talking about. I'm going to post it in the chat room, of Obama throwing that rose down at the memorial. I just posted it. It's on video. And that is the level of disrespect. And I don't know my dad. I don't know my brother has served. That was in war. My husband's been in a war. My brother's been in a war. My brother, I mean, they have the mentality. Basically, this is how amazing and how much I respect our military. My brother, grant you, he actually sacrificed going to another term in the death so my little sister wouldn't have to go. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right.
Not only did
he
throw it, he didn't show any emotion at all.
I mean, did you see that?
That was sick. That was sick. That was sick.
That was pretty bad. No doubt.
I mean, just the you can see that I try to judge people based on their actions. And I've tried to give Obama so many opportunities, just trying to overlook, you know, hey, maybe we need to give this guy a chance. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
His actions and what he does just goes against the grain of the United States and our policies and what we believe as a nation.
Right.
You know? And I guess it's one of those things where you want to see the bigger picture. You want to see the good in people. You want to see all that.
Right.
But what has he shown? What has he actually given us that we can say, you know what, this guy deserves a second term?
Oh,
I don't
want to
hear
nothing.
he's... Yeah, I don't want to hear he's black. You know, we got to make history again. You know, we had 8 years of Bush, so we need to have 8 years of Obama. Tell me why. What has he, I mean, well, yes, he's changed.
Yeah, let's make history. Let's make Obama history. I mean,
yeah.
I don't care if the next president is purple. I mean, as long as his policies are good for the country, and Obama, mm-hmm. Obama's policies are not good for this country. So,
no, they're not. And you know, I had a lady on my page today. Once again, you know, she's ranting about all the other politicians instead of addressing who we are dealing with right now. You know, she basically goes on a rant about, you know, I'm fed up with all the politicians. You know, I'm fed up with all of them. And basically she tries to pin 9/11. She's a truther, basically. You know, y'all need to do your homework to see who was really responsible for all those deaths.
That actually goes back to what I was saying about the disconnect. The fact that any sect of the American public can believe that 9/11 was an inside job tells you the cynicism that the public overall has for the government. You know, it's sad. It really is, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And she went on to say that it was our own government, and before you judge Obama, this mess was here long before he came into it. You know, nobody's saying that it wasn't. But what is he doing to fix anything? What is he doing to move us forward? One, he's throwing us under the bus. He don't care about nobody. He don't care about fixing it. He's putting the dog crap on top of more dog crap on top of more, and it stinks.
Right. And this next, this jobs bill has went from $320 billion to $477 and growing. So,
and it's like he has such disdain and hatred for everybody that, you know, doesn't agree with him. You know what? There's going to be, get some thick skin as the legal president as you are. And I say illegal because you have to, both parents have to be natural born citizens of the U.S. to be the residing president of the United States.
Right.
Okay.
Let me say this. It's really disingenuous about how people try to say that George Bush was part of the cover up and the conspiracy of 9/11. Now, let me ask you this. Who was president when the towers was attacked in 1993?
Bill Clinton.
Okay. Who was president when Algeria offered Osama bin Laden to the United States government not once, not twice?
Afghanistan.
Hmm.
Bill Clinton.
Hey, Robert, welcome to the show. Glad you can make it, buddy. Now, whose administration was it that the wall, the Gaelic wall, was put between the different intelligence agencies to keep them from sharing information?
I'm guessing Clinton.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to share something with you guys that I remember. And I'll never forget this, because when 9/11 attack happened, this was the thing that made me really mad. And I believe it was in 1999, there was a newspaper article. The FBI released some information and said that they had a credible threat that that terrorists were planning to fly airplanes into buildings. That's when the wall, but because of the wall, the Gaelic wall, as it was called, because of the non-sharing of information between the intelligence agencies. They couldn't share it with the CIA, NSA, so that they could track them. Yeah, we knew. We had the information. So people, instead of being disingenuous and always trying to say that George Bush was part of the conspiracy, let's call it for what it is. The Clinton administration had the information. The Clinton FBI had the information. I read it in the USA Today with my own two eyes. And all you stupid conspiracy theorists, you need to pull your heads out your rear ends and really read.
The thing is, though, Thomas, you have to remember something about some liberals. They have selective memory. They really do. They have selective memory. Am I wrong or right?
Right.
Everything that you said was valid. But try to bring that up to them. Oh, well, you know, this, and that.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing we can say that the government was guilty of, though, is you know, a failure to inhibit or 9/11. Now, whether they were involved in doing it, you know, because the investigation was so sloppy, you know, you just don't know. But it's highly doubtful that the government could pull off this type of operation without literally hundreds or thousands of people knowing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that nobody has came forward and said that they were involved with it, you know, I think that speaks volumes as to whether the government had anything to do with it or not.
Right, exactly. You only had these conspiracy theorists saying that. Now, if our government was complacent, as big a mouth as people in the government had, somebody would have leaked that a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Oh, definitely. You can't keep a secret between six or seven people, much less 1,000. I mean,
exactly.
You know, it's just I mean,
somebody's gonna leak, even with
Monica.
I'm going there, even with Monica Lewinsky's dress. You know,
right?
Is somebody going to be like, shh, don't tell nobody. And they go tell them, don't tell nobody. And what do you know, it's going to leak. It's, bam.
I think sometimes we trivialize things so much that we lack common sense dealing with an issue. And I think this is one of those times. So.
Probably. Yeah. You know what? You talked about someone leaked Monica Lewinsky. Let's be accurate. Someone leaked Monica Lewinsky.
Oh my word. All right, Thomas. This is a Christian show, buddy.
Well, oh man, why was I just thinking that, Jermaine? You took the words right out of my mouth.
You need
to hear scripture for the day. You do.
I'm keeping it real. I didn't say anything inappropriate.
Thomas.
Oh yeah.
I'm making
sexual innuendos. Yeah.
Hey, there was a leak.
Yeah.
Thomas, until you that. Wow, my mind was not even anywhere near there. But
hey,
wait a minute. Hold up, Thomas. You getting yelled at? Thank you, Mary. You get on him, please. Mother Mary has spoken.
And I know they're laughing out loud at their computers too.
Oh no, I think they're saying their prayer for you.
Hey, Lord, I repent, but you know what? That comment deserved it. He deserved it. But anyway, that's a little lightheartedness after the idiots that, you know, that trolled the show earlier. And by the way, there was another one that tried to come. So what I did, just to show how dumb I am since I'm a conservative, I went to People Search on Yahoo, and I typed in the number in reverse number lookup, and it came up as something else. So I knew that it was someone that was bouncing calls from different places.
Right.
So didn't take the call.
A call bouncer.
Yep.
Call
a liberal. I tell you, people just really need to get a life.
Right.
For real. You know, I was talking to somebody about something, and this is really y'all's, you give your feedback about Southern strategy.
Right.
And what are your thoughts about that? You know, my thoughts, before y'all say anything, is this. I really believe that Southern strategy was something or a way, and I may have already said this, maybe I have, maybe I'm having deja vu, I don't know, was a way for Democrats to rewrite history. What is their deal? What are they running from? What is the Democrat Party running from that they have to go and retweak their website, take credit for civil rights, hide the fact that they were started by the KKK? I mean, what are they running from? What are they hiding from?
Well, they don't want black people to know they're racist. Second of all, they're liars. Third of all, they've not done anything that they said they were going to do. And fourth of all, as long as they keep delivering the welfare checks, they feel like they have the vote of the minority group.
Right. I mean, what better way to control a segment of the population than to pretend like you have their best interests at heart?
Exactly.
And I think that's exactly what the Democratic Party strategy, I think that's what their strategy was. They knew from the beginning they didn't have African Americans' best interests at heart. I mean, it's evident in the condition of our people today.
Amen.
So,
right.
until our people decide to wake up and stop accepting the premise of the liberal arguments and listening to these lies election after election and promise after promise, a broken promise
after a broken
promise. Right. I mean, our condition's never going to change until we start to be responsible for ourselves as individuals.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, I don't believe, me and Mia actually had a difference on Martin Luther King the other night. I don't believe that we can collectively raise our people up out of this condition. I believe it has to be on a case-by-case, individual basis.
I agree with that. And I'm going to emphasize that, Jermaine. If people don't learn how to understand history, the only thing that is the same is God. He's the only one who remains the same. Okay? And when you look at history, it's like a cycle. It just repeats itself. And until we learn, okay, how are we benefiting from this? What is changing? What has gotten better? We got to start asking some serious questions. And I don't see that happen.
Right.
No, we just take whatever Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson says as the gospel and we run with it.
Right.
And we know that they don't have our best interest at heart. I mean, they're lining their pockets year after year while the condition of their people does not change.
Right.
So we can at least convict them of being bad leaders, if nothing else.
Right.
You know, the sad part about that, on top of that, is you got even these people, the National Black Caucus. I mean, I only see that as a means of them representing themselves. I'm wondering, okay, when are you going to realize that these people are not for you? They don't support you.
Right.
You know, and I'm the one to say, you know what? Are you any richer now than before than being a Democrat? I mean, come on, let's be real. Are you richer now since you voted for that liberal Democrat?
Right. And you have to be aware of the liberal reverse psychology here. Let's look at an organization like the NAACP. Basically, what this organization is saying is that because you are black, you can't compete in the real world without help.
Exactly.
You know, they're basically saying that you have a handicap. Okay?
Oh, my gosh. Say that.
Okay, so if I can't compete in the real world, this little show that I started on Blog Talk Radio, how did it go from nothing to up there in 4 months if
right.
I can't compete without any help?
Right, but Thomas, we've broken through this nonsense. We've sifted through it. We see through it. But, you know, on the surface, most African Americans aren't going to see through that. They're going to say, hey, you know, I do need help to succeed. You know, if I don't get that job and a white guy gets it, that's racism, you know, when the white guy may have had better qualifications. I mean, that's just the real world. You know,
that's a politically correct world, because now you have these systems where they dumb down black people, where they lower the scores. Now you don't have to get a high score. Your low score is acceptable.
Right.
So now the whites that are scoring high, now the blacks feel like, you know what, we don't even have to apply ourselves. We don't have to do nothing. We just get on for the ride. And the other thing with a lot of blacks is we don't hold these leaders accountable.
Right.
There's no accountability. There's no saying, look, you got to do better. You got to do better. And seriously, I'm just going to be honest and blunt. We got to step up with the black man. Our black men,
exactly.
What are they doing? Because God has put the man as the head of the household. And if he ain't got himself together, the black family is just collision. There's no foundation. There's nothing. You got all these young black males who don't have no nothing.
Well,
and then
we've
now
got to break through this psyche of being a victim. And,
amen.
You know, that's,
amen. Where does it start? That's what you got to ask your question. And I see a lot of young people now, they playing these games. They playing these games, and they don't have the level of respect like old school where it takes a village.
Right.
Nope, not anymore. Not anymore. You can't say nothing. You can't say that nobody's kid and I'll bust a cap in you and all this stuff. You know what? Sit down. Sit down, because that's not the solution. That's not the solution.
Right. I mean,
it's not.
It's not. You're absolutely correct. Absolutely right. So, and you're right about the black man. You know, it takes a man to raise a man. You know, I'm sorry.
It really does.
And mothers can do a very good job, but there's just some things that they can get you so far. But there's just some things that only a father can do for a young boy. So.
Well, you know me. I always say we present the issues. So now, and if you notice, by design, I've been listening and letting you guys discuss because you guys are on to something. But now, this is where I interject. Discuss viable solutions, because the solutions, they're not going to come from government. They're going to come from we, the people, ourselves. So, Mia, Jermaine, and even you, Antoinette, if you want to chime in here, because I know you're listening, we have to figure out solutions on how to improve the condition in our black community. We can talk about the problems all we want, but that's not going to change anything.
Right. Now, Thomas, I've talked to you about the way I would handle it now, wrong or right, is as conservatives, we have to present a model to these inner cities. So what we need to do is adopt a city and go in and, you know, preach conservative principles. Well, preach may be the wrong word, but, you know, teach conservative principles. Encourage men to stay, you know, within the home. Of course, there'd have to be some type of economic program. And I know some people are going to say socialism, but we have to have a model to show the inner city to say, hey, you can succeed. You know, look at this model. This is what we did here. You know, I think that's the only way. And, of course, individual responsibility. These people have to be willing to listen. You know, and I think that the liberal the liberals have indoctrinated them to a point to where they don't believe there's any hope. So it's an uphill battle, Thomas. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
You know where the real problem lies, gentlemen? You know where the real problem lies, right?
Right. Where is that?
The real problem, the only solution right now is getting to these churches and these pastors and these leaders who are up in there with these, I mean, they're wolves. They're ravenous wolves.
That's a good
point. And they are on board with this liberal agenda, and Satan is basically, he's got them fooled. They're out basically encouraging this foolishness.
That's a good point.
And we've got to get to the point to say, you know what? You're not teaching solid gospel and what God is supposed to be in this church and in this nation. You are not teaching godly principles, godly standards. There's nothing that you are doing that is representing God. I mean, yeah, you got on that nice suit. I'm happy for you. But the thing is, what are you doing to represent God and his standards based on his word? You teach him prosperity just fine.
Right.
But the person over there, they need help with their light bill.
Right.
You know? So it starts in a whole lot of places, and until we can get the grown-ups to act right. And the thing is, I'm going to be honest with you. Blacks got a real problem with pride. They actually have a problem admitted. Hey, we got an issue here. We got a problem. They don't want to say that.
Right.
They don't want to come with it. They don't want to say, you know what, we got problems. No, you got issues.
Present and company not included, because I'm going to tell you something. It took me years to get to the point where I would admit, hey, I have a problem in this area. I need to deal with it. But once I did, sometimes I'll do it too
much. But Thomas, at the same time, it's difficult for a man to rise above the condition of his own people. So we do, even though we can sift through the BS of the liberal ideology and indoctrination, we still have a responsibility,
of course,
to our community. So
yes, we do.
So I mean, it's, you know, I would just love to say, you know, forget it, you know, but
what, yeah. I'm saying, this is my point. If I didn't care, I wouldn't be doing this show.
Right. Oh, I'm not saying you don't care.
You know, that's my whole point in this, because you know what? At the same time, I will present the information. I will not get in a shouting match or argument with anyone, because you know, it's like what happened to me Sunday. You know, that, you know, just typical liberals. It's all, for me, it's a struggle. It's all I can do not to just totally lay waste to people with my words. And I'm not talking about cussing someone out, because I know how to strike viciously at the heart of a person. But I choose not to, because if I did that, that's not me. That is not me, even though I know how. And I came from a place of anger, but I allow my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to heal me. So, you know, I still have that struggle in being angry, wanting to just pick up a brick and smash a liberal. But I deal with it, and so I try for the most part to have intelligent discussions. But when the attacks get personal like it did yesterday, my blood came to a boil, and thank God that my spiritual mom in the faith was there, and you know, just other Tea Party people, and they was like, because honestly, I don't disrespect older people, but you know, Marine or not, and he was 68-year-old U.S. Marine. He was an open target, and I'll just leave it at that. But I turned and walked away after I said what I had to say. But
Thomas, I think it's important to remember when we're talking about our, you know, black people, African Americans, depends on whatever you want to be called, that we're dealing with people that are on a horizontal level. We're either dead or we're in a deep state of sleep. Okay.
This wasn't another black person. This was a 68-year-old gay white man.
Right, but still, he's on a liberal. You have to look at these people as being on a horizontal level, okay?
Okay.
Our jobs as conservatives are to wake them up, okay?
Hold on, let me ask you a question. And if you guys are ready for a laugh, this is the comment the guy said. How do you wake up someone who believes that liberalism and secular humanism is what made this country great?
Well, I didn't say it would be easy. I just said that that's what we had to do.
When he said that, I all but ended the conversation right there.
I was getting ready to say, you walked away.
And I turned to walk away, and he kept talking. And then I turned around and I said this: how dare you try to talk your garbage to me when it was your liberal policies that put black people in the state that they're in? So go talk to somebody else. That's what I said to him.
Get him, Thomas.
Yeah, so
I mean, sometimes you have to walk away because some of the crap that comes out of their mouth, you know, you'll have a stroke from high blood pressure. But you know, it's an uphill battle, you know. But just remember, you're dealing with people that are on a horizontal level. They're at a state of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they and our job is to wake them up. You know, and sometimes to wake somebody up, you got to hit them in the head. Unfortunately, you know.
And you have to pick and choose your battles. Which ones are you going to stand up for? Which ones you walk away from? You know?
Right.
And that's one of the things where you just be like, really? Okay. Keep living and believing that lie. I'm sorry. I feel sorry for you, but I'm sorry. I can't waste my time with such foolishness.
Right.
Right.
Try to have a good day.
Right.
So, I mean, it is what it is. And those progressives, you just look at them like, okay, you really believe that?
Yeah. And you know, if they actually took the time to investigate and research, and they would see that their policies don't work. They're fallacies. So, you know,
the ultimate goal for liberal and social policy is to make everyone equal. But see, here's the thing: they want everyone equally poor. They want to contain power in a hierarchy, as was in the USSR. And you know what? We as Americans, really, I don't care what persuasion you are, if you say you enjoy freedom, like all, you know, you see a lot of these young college students protesting and stuff like that, talking about da-da-da-da, and we want our rights and we want our freedoms. Well, they don't even realize the things that they're doing is they're playing right into the stealing of their freedoms. You know, it's mm-hmm. like one of the speakers said on Sunday, the Constitution didn't guarantee freedom from religion, it guaranteed freedom of religion. And also, as part of that freedom, you have a right to not to believe in anything, but you don't have the right to try to take my right away to believe in a God, Lord Jesus Christ. But see, that is the thing that liberals don't seem to understand. They don't have that right, but they try to force that. They want to impose their own set of moral standards and then right. try when people are opposed to abortion, same-sex marriage, and all those things. Because, see, I'm opposed to those things by virtue of the fact it destroys the family and their destructive lifestyles. Because ultimately, we, the taxpayers, are left with picking up the pieces of broken and shattered lives.
You know, I think that if people want to live that way, there's plenty of other places they can move to if they want that craziness and they can experience for themselves. Stop trying to change the USA, the land of the free, and, hey, move to China.
Right. You know, and liberals actually, they get mad when we call Obama a Marxist, but let me read what Karl Marx said. He said, from each according to his ability, to each according to their need. Is that not spreading the wealth around? Mm-hmm. So you're taking away from someone who is being responsible and giving it to someone who's irresponsible. So, I mean, and that's the foundation of all Obama's policies. That's why we say he's a Marxist. So we can back up every claim that, you know, that we make with this guy. So.
Well,
that is a good point.
Nobody knew who he was, but it was clear when you saw everything he was saying, you know, nobody wanted to pay attention to that. Everybody was so busy looking about, you know, we got to make history. He's a black man. And I say that over and over again because it's a fact. Nobody cared about who he. Now everybody wants to know, well, who is Obama? It's too late now.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, it's too late. So you got your, just like the Israelites, you got the king, you got the leader that you wanted. So, hey, go right ahead and you worship him. I'm not going to join in.
Right, right. And see, everybody, I hear many times, you know, some believers will say, well, that's who God ordained for president. No, it's not. You don't. If you think that God would, man, I won't go there. But you know what? That's not who God. That's not God's best. Not even close. Because when you disregard a whole nation of people, see, and what's really crazy, his own supporters don't even realize that he's throwing them under the bus as well. He's not just throwing conservative viewpoints under the bus. He's thrown this entire nation under the bus. What else would you think it would be when he bows to the Saudi Arabian prince?
Well, honestly, he's so stupid he didn't know he wasn't supposed to do that in his defense. You know, he's, I don't know. You know, there's never been a candidate in the history of the United States that the media let off so easy as Obama.
You're right.
I mean, nothing stuck to this guy. We brought up William Ayers. We brought up Jeremiah Wright, his association with the Nation of Islam, and Louis Farrakhan. I mean, the list goes on and on and on with this guy, and nobody in the media paid attention to it. So...
Well, nobody wants to because the majority of the the media is liberal anyway. They don't have our best interest. They don't care about anybody.
So
you know?
So maybe it's time to really create an alternative to that. Because, see, Blog Talk Radio, while, you know, it's a great alternative, ultimately, though, there are a lot the powers that be of Blog Talk Radio ultimately are liberal, as are Twitter, Facebook, Yahoo, Google, so on and so forth. Those people in those organizations gave hundreds of millions of dollars to liberal causes. You know, that's what, you know, you cannot tell me that there are not no other creative conservatives smart enough to take a Blog Talk Radio idea, do an alternative, but make it that much better.
All right.
You know, I mean, it's that simple. When are we, as, you know, as conservatives, we've always been known as hardworking people. But when are we really going to, when are we going to step over into that realm of showing the liberals that they don't corner the market on intelligence and say, hey, now, look at what we're about to do.
Right, but how do we do that, Thomas?
Liberals listen to liberals' views. They're saturated with liberal stuff all the time. I mean, when you look around us, liberalism is just being fed and shoved down constantly.
Right.
You hardly ever see anything conservative in. I mean, liberalism is being pushed down in our schools, in our communities. I mean, on the news, it's everywhere, even in the churches.
Right.
It's sick how Satan has really penetrated, how we've allowed that wall to come down. We've had so many opportunities to prevent this, but we've just let the gate just, I mean, it's been flung open.
Right.
But we keep saying we got to have a solution, but we also have enough people on board.
Right. That's
and
a good
point. I don't see enough conservatives involved. And me and Stacey Swint were talking about, the other day, why do conservatives have to compete? Why are we competing?
Good point. Good question. That is a very good question. Because, see, here's the thing. At the end of the day, it's like one of my good friends who's in the room has his show, Loki. He doesn't necessarily believe the way we do when it comes to faith. But at the end of the day, he is unified in, you know, in a conservative belief. He's also a believer of the he's also a believer in the U.S. Constitution, and he believes in the greatness that is America. So, with no further ado, I'm going to bring a caller on the line. Miss Antoinette wants to share something. Go ahead, Miss Antoinette. You're on the air. Hold on just.
Hello,
while
Tom.
You guys go ahead and talk, I got to go open the door for somebody.
Okay. Hello, Tom. Hello, Mia.
Hello, Antoinette.
Hey, Antoinette. How are you?
Hi, Jermaine. How are you, sweetheart?
Pretty good.
Good. Mia, I respectfully disagree with you. Not everyone that voted for Obama did it as looking for Obama as being a messiah. I know I wanted to change from Bush. I was sick of Bush's policies for the 8 years that he was in. I was tired of the wars. Obama promised to take us out of war. I voted on that principle. And because of Biden being his running mate, because I personally knew Biden. Now, after Obama got in office and I seen his cabinet picks, that turned me off. from him altogether.
Right.
Because
okay.
then I seen that it was the same agenda, just a different face. Everything that Bush was doing, Obama picked it up and ran with it and just added more to it.
My thing is, I said that statement because that is the majority of why a lot of people voted for Obama, was to make history. They wanted to see,
parents. We've had black presidents before. I mean, they just passed.
Okay, he's labeled as the first black president, even though they gave it to Clinton. I don't know why.
But, I mean, I'm saying there was actual black presidents before Obama.
Who are they?
That passed. One was Eisenhower. One was Lincoln.
That's true. That's actually very true.
I am not familiar with that information.
That's actually very true.
Jermaine,
I
will send it to you.
Okay.
I will send it to you. Because somewhere in their family lineage, they had, I don't know if it was slave ancestors or what it was, but I did hear that. I heard that a long time ago, and it just, when Antoinette said that, it just popped back up. So I never looked into it to research it, but I just heard it and I said, huh. And I store that in memory.
So why is that has never been addressed? Because I've never found that. And Obama was labeled the first black president, and that's what was pushed, and that was the same thing that was for history. So
trust me, back then, if they were black, if they were black, it wasn't known.
They teach us what they want us to know.
Yes.
So and the Democrat Party has basically rewritten history, and that is what is so disturbing.
That's everyone. That's everyone that had an interest in keeping black people down. Now, as far as feeling sorry for yourself or this pity thing that I always hear everybody hollering that black people have, you know, yes, there's some black people that have it, but not everyone. I'm tired of every black person got to be put in a box. But
I'm not labeling
not
all
everyone
of them. I'm talking about
the
98%
who
vote Democrat.
In that box. But there's even
that's
Democrats.
That's who I'm talking about.
You know, you're saying, that's like saying that Democrats don't think.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the 98% of the Democrats, the blacks who vote Democrat. That's what I'm talking about. That's who I'm targeting and talking
right.
about. I'm not talking about all of them. I'm talking about the ones, those.
Antoinette, you will agree, though, that when you have 95% of a voting bloc, the black voting bloc, voting a certain way, that bloc can be depended on as a monolithic voting bloc, right?
Yeah, but does that make it accurate? You know, we
right,
go
but,
by
but
statistics.
What we're saying
who,
is that
who
within
is
that
taking the statistics and
right.
who are they pulling to take these surveys and things to say that this is this and this is that. You know, we're just looking at things and taking it as
right.
factual matters when we're not doing it ourselves.
I understand what you're saying, but what I think what Mia is saying is that when you can depend on a voting bloc to be monolithic, that these people are not paying attention to the policies and how this person's policies is going to adversely affect them. Okay. Am I on to something, Mia? I mean, is that?
Yes. I mean, I said that earlier. I've made a valid argument about the policies. How is this party? What are they pushing for? How are they helping you? I made that point very valid. I just don't see the black community improving. I don't see it. I see it being broken down. I see more people depending on government and less on God.
Well,
that
was
my point.
With all of the cuts and everything that's out there now, I don't think a lot of people can really afford to sit and depend on the government Because, you know, as we know, the government doesn't have any money anyway. They're printing monopoly money.
Let me, hold on.
So I don't think that there's too many people that can,
let me,
you know,
let me
base
throw
their
up.
Lives on waiting to get a check or anything from the government.
Let me throw a some statistics out there for you guys, which they're actual statistics, approximations. Since the Revolutionary War up until the wars that we're in today, all the wars that the U.S. has been in combined, it has cost this nation $6 trillion. That's all the wars that this United States has ever been in, period. Since 1967, when Lyndon B. Johnson started his great utopian society, $16 trillion has been spent on the so-called war on poverty. When they started the Great Society and putting money into it, there were 36 million Americans in poverty. Today, there's almost 50 million Americans in poverty. Okay, you spending all that money to get people out of poverty. Why did the number of poor people go up instead of go down? See, this is the thing. These are the things that we have to look at. See, let's talk about America being broke. America is not broke. Don't believe that. This country takes in $200 billion a month in revenues. We have the money every month to pay all our bills. We have never defaulted on a debt. We've always paid the interest rates on our debts every single month. But most Americans don't know this because we are kept out of the loop, or we don't know where to look. Why did I say all that to say this? The original intent and purpose of welfare was to help people who maybe needed some assistance for a little while till they find
temporary. It was supposed to be temporary. Yes.
But what happened when people who needed the temporary help, especially in the black and minority communities, went to apply for the help, they were told, we can't help you because you have a male in your household. That was the foundation of black men being rooted and weeded out of the black family. The church and the black male were the foundation. God, the center of our community, and the black male was the head of our household. Or the strength of our households. And I'm going to tell you this, because I have researched some things that I don't really talk too much in depth about, because it would make me angry if I did, just knowing about it. Mm-hmm. But liberals deliberately set out to do what they did. If you don't believe me, just Google the Negro Project and just
Margaret
read all
Sanger.
About it. Exactly.
Yep. Margaret Sanger.
Abortion was never about a woman's right to choose, because Margaret Sanger, who was a liberal progressive supporter of eugenics, in fact,
yes, she did it to eliminate the black community. Because
exactly, but see,
yes,
that in and of itself, think about this for a minute, and this
is
my point.
Nothing's changed.
But listen,
no, it hasn't
changed. Hold on, guys.
I'm not an advocate for abortion.
But listen,
never had an abortion, do not approve of it at all.
Well, nobody,
those are part of the policies of the Democratic Party, was my point.
That's what they campaign on. That's what I'm saying. They campaign on that. By that in and of itself, that one policy right there. See, the black population's population growth rate is now at zero. It's 0.1%, meaning we are not replacing the people that are dying in our community every year.
And we only make up 13% of the population.
Exactly.
That's true. We don't have the family sizes that we used to. You know, my mother came from a family of 17.
Right.
You know, she had three children. I had three children. And Lord knows I don't want any more. Thank God they're grown.
But you raised them, and you raised them well, because you are.
Yes, to the best of my ability.
Yes, and you did it with the strength of God. And we know that.
I
know,
I couldn't
I know
do it
this.
Without it.
Right. I know this about you because I spend time talking to you, so I'm kind of biased, you know. Anyway, but this is the whole point of this, you know, Antoinette. Is not nobody is attacking, you know, Obama or liberals. Because,
I don't care
like,
about attacking Obama. See, I understand. Obama is a politician. He put himself out there. He's a president. Every president is attacked for their policies, regardless if people agree or they don't agree. I don't agree with Obama's policies. I have no problem with that. But don't tell me that, okay, I voted for him because he was black. I listened to his speeches.
No.
I listened to the speeches.
No, you didn't vote for him because
and
he was
I
black.
I did not like McCain saying, we could be in this war for over 100 years. Okay, and, you know, and Obama saying, oh, well, I'm going to pull him out. And I believe that. I wanted a change. I thought we were going to have a change, and yeah, we did have a change. We got more of the same. Just it intensified. So in that way, yes, Obama played a game on all of us that voted for him.
Right. And see, and you clarified that, so we know where you stand on that. But what she was referring to, was the people who voted for Obama because of his skin color. That's what she was talking about. And I had a young white Republican kid in my accounting class down in Hutchinson, Kansas, who we was talking about the policies in class of the Obama administration. And he looked at me and he said, well, if you don't like his policies, you shouldn't have voted for him. He didn't ask me who I voted for. He said, you shouldn't have never voted for him. I looked at my friend who was having a discussion. He was a big Obama supporter, so he used to always tease me. We looked at each other. You should have seen it. It was slow motion. Like, we looked at each other slowly. You know, like how you'd see the head slowly turn in the movies and stuff. Mm-hmm. Then I looked back at him and I said, just like this. I said, I didn't vote for him. Dude turned beet red, didn't say another word the entire class. Didn't say a word. And see, here's my problem with Republicans. I'm a conservative, but I never registered Republican. Here's the reason why. Because the mainstream GOP walked away from their roots. I support the mm-hmm. original GOP founded in opposition to slavery. Mm-hmm. I don't know what GOP exists today. When you have my friend Jacob Turk is running, he ran for U.S. House of Representatives in the 5th District in Missouri. He was told by the Missouri State GOP leadership, don't go.
Excuse me.
Is it better now?
Yes.
Okay. He was told, do not go campaign in the inner cities because Democrats already have the black vote, so you just be wasting your time. And he said to them, you know, if I'm blessed by the Lord to be allowed to win this election, I'm going to be a representative of all the people and not just the people in the suburbs. When he said that, my respect, which was already high for him, went through the roof. And my friend Kurt Cleaver is the same way. Bill Randles, who's running for Missouri governor, it's same way. The man, this is a white Republican, and you really want to talk about throwing a wrench into the game of the Democratic liberals? He's married to a black woman. Think about that for a minute. You want to talk about turning the liberal stereotypes upside down, and they are well-received in Missouri.
There's about to be a movement.
Yes, and see, mine was Biden. Now, how you hold yours in high regard, I hold Biden in high regard. I have a friend, or I had a friend. She was 12 years old when her kidneys failed. Completely failed. And she needed a kidney transplant. It was never heard of in the United States. Biden had it so she got a kidney transplant. The first one done in this, on, you know, the East Coast, as far as I know of.
Right.
Where she went, they put her in the hospital in Philadelphia. They had doctors from all over the world that came in to watch that transplant take place. She was 12 years old.
Wow.
Now, she died when she was in her 40s.
Wow.
Because
that's...
the kidney transplant failed. You know, I grew up in the community where Biden is from.
Right.
I remember when his first wife got killed in a car accident, and her kids, you know, their kids. You know, I remember Biden coming to my house. Biden spoke at my graduation. You know, so everyone, you know, knows Biden. The same way how, you know, Biden comes home and Biden is in his pickup truck driving around. He's still that neighborly man. You know, it's not, oh, I'm this, I'm that, or anything else. It's, you know, I'm still Joe.
Right.
And he's been like that since he was senator. So I still have a high respect for him. There's things that I don't like that he's doing, but there's things that I understand that he says because he had a brain aneurysm. And
really?
I know, yeah, Biden had a brain aneurysm in the 70s.
Oh, wow. So you
yeah,
know,
I remember. So I know that sometimes you speak, and because you want to hurry and get it out before you forget, that you say things without, you know, really thinking it through. It's just get it out.
Right.
So I understand the mistakes that he makes, you know, without thoroughly thinking it through, because you'll forget it.
He has said some boneheaded things, has he not?
Yes, he has.
It is like, did he really just say that? But you know what? It's comical until you hear those things that, you know, that happened to him, because some say that people don't ever recover fully from a brain aneurysm. But, you know, even then, you can, I don't understand how he could. I just don't think the policies that this nation is headed towards, we talk about, we want to look at things in the natural, you know, look at the economy and stuff like that, but we need to peel away the layers and look at what's at the root of it, because if he's everything, if he's what you say he is, he can't believe half the things that he say and half the stuff that's been done. He can't.
Oh, and I agree. I agree.
He can't support it.
I agree with that 100%.
So he must be playing a game. And
that's what I think it is, that he's just playing the game. From what I understand, that Biden said a couple years ago that after this term, he was retiring.
Right.
You know, so that right there is going to cost. If Obama does run again, which I believe he is, that's going to cost him Delaware votes right there. I mean,
right.
You know, Delaware is a tiny state, but it'll cost him a lot of Pennsylvania votes because Biden was raised in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And see, a lot of people, you know, not only because they were disgusted with Bush, but also because people love Biden.
Right. Right.
You know, when you come from a small state, you know, you really know your representatives. You know who's working for you, what they're doing, and, you know, where they're at, where they live at, and everything else.
Right. Right.
You know, so, you know, you're bound to run across them in a store or anything else.
Right, right. You know, and you bring up some good points. You know, and people, Antoinette, this is one of the things, and I ain't afraid to say this on air for the whole world to hear. One of the things that that I absolutely love and adore about you is that we may not agree on every issue, you know, but at the end of the day, it's like when you had discussion with Jermaine and Mia. You guys didn't always agree, you know, on whatever. But we are an example of people talking and sharing views. I have a friend, his name is Carlton, the Carlton. He's a liberal. He's one of the best, most respected liberals I have ever had the chance to interact with on my show. He has called in. There's been a few times that he has called in to, you know, kind of give a viewpoint. He's had information. He debated. We debated, you know. And then at the end of the day, he hung, you know, we was cool. Absolutely love that. See, and I love that about you because it's really, really awesome. And this is what it's about. You know, we could be a model of what America is really supposed to be.
Yes, I agree.
And having said
it doesn't take the name calling and all, you know, and all that. You know, that's right. The reason why I first said to your co-host, I respectfully disagree.
Right.
You know, I mean, I appreciate her views. Those are her views. You know, it's not up to me to change your views or condemn
right.
you for the way how you're thinking. You know, that's, but, you know, my view is different.
Right. And that's fine. At the end of the day, we agree to disagree. But having said all that, I am going to get over to Loki's show, even though I extended my time because I wanted to end, you know, have the conversation be finished. But it's 7:05. No, you're fine because you did fine. I purposely extended it because there was 1 minute left when you guys were having your discussion.
Ow, I'm so sorry.
No. That was a while ago. I wanted that finished, and so, you know, I have the power to extend my time if I wanted to, and
yes,
I did.
Yes, I know that.
And so, because
yeah.
This turned into a really, really good show. But, guys, in the chat room, Measure of Faith, Blue Sky, Antoinette, head over to Loki's show. It's what is it called? The Halls of Valhalla. And so I am going to sign off for the moment, but
okay.
Miss Antoinette, you know you have that special place in my heart. I love you to pieces.
Oh, thank you. I love you also.
And you can always, you better keep calling in and supporting my show.
All right. I'll do that.
All right, ma'am. I will hopefully see you over at Loki's show.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Bye, everyone. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
So, everybody, I'm getting over to Loki's show. We had a phenomenal show tonight. I thank you all for coming. I'm not going to use the rest of my time because I told Loki that I would come help him. So, make sure you come back tomorrow night. It's going to be another awesome show, spontaneous, off the chain. So, until then, you have been listening to the Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed on Blog Talk Radio.
As I ponder the possibilities of all things life coulda, woulda, shoulda brought to me, why embrace what I have done from start till now.